Heavenly Father, would you open our hearts, our ears, our minds now to hear your message for us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do have a seat. So last week, if you were here last week, my sermon focused on one particular word. If anyone was here last week, can you remember what that word was? You were at the first service, Barry. Yeah. Anybody else? Grace. Anybody remember? Do you remember that? I was talking about grace, and can you remember what explanation I gave for that word grace? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Well done. We thought about all the amazing things that God gifts to us, his joy, peace of mind, peace in our hearts, his hope, his purpose and life, not because of anything we've done to deserve that, but because on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for all the ways that we fall short of how God wants us to live and to love. So that was one word last week, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And there's one word that I want to focus on this week too, agape. Agape, love, yes. Now, never to do one by halves, the ancient Greeks, I don't know if they still do, I presume so, they had about half a dozen different words for love. Us English speakers kind of make the word love work overtime, don't we? I love my mum. I love my friends. I love salted caramel ice cream. Whereas the Greeks had different words for sexual love, familial love, platonic love, and whatever category salted caramel ice cream falls into. They had a different word for love in all of those circumstances. And they had a word for love, agape, that became very special for Christians. Just like the word grace has a very special definition for Christians, the word agape for love has a very special meaning for us too. And if we might define grace as God's riches at Christ's expense, we might define agape as loving at our expense. So grace is God's riches at Christ's expense, but agape is us loving at our expense. Because you see, agape love is defined as that, as being self-sacrificial, a love that doesn't count the cost, a love that always looks to the needs of the other person. And Paul wrote about agape a lot. There's a whole chapter about it in his first letter that he wrote to the early church in Corinth, to the Corinthians. If you want a definition of agape, we need look no further. And it's a very popular reading at weddings, so you might be familiar with it. And all the way through it, where it says love, it's that word agape that's used. So it says love. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Agape does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And when couples choose that reading as the reading at their wedding, I always think, really? Are you sure? Yeah, this isn't romantic love that we're talking about here. This is hard work, costly, agape love. You know, you're setting a very high bar for yourself if you're saying, this is how we want to love. And it's agape love that Paul talks about in that reading that we had from Philippians. The word is used explicitly a couple of times, but I think its meaning pervades the whole of that passage. Yes, Paul wrote about agape a lot, almost as much as he wrote about grace, because I think he saw those two things as inextricably intertwined. Because of his love for us, God showers us with grace. Because of his agape love, the love that is sacrificial, the love that doesn't count the cost, God gave himself to us in his Son. John, another one of the New Testament writers, really got that when he says in one of his letters, God is love. God is agape. This love, he says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So agape love drove God to that ultimate gift of grace, that ultimate act of grace. Agape love is what impelled Jesus on that journey to the cross. As the eternal, divine Son, sharing in the very nature and substance of the Godhead, God himself, Jesus, writes Paul, made himself nothing for us and humbled himself in obedience to the rescue plan that would save us and went to the cross. And when we realize that we're on the receiving end of that love, then what? Well, Paul says it, doesn't he? If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his agape, from his love, then have the same agape love. So grace and agape are inextricably linked for God, and they're inextricably linked for us. Love moves God to grace, and when we receive his grace, we should be moved to love. And the things that characterize that love we've been shown should in turn characterize the love that we show. So the characteristics of the love that we've been shown should in turn characterize the love that we show to others. Have the same mindset as Christ, says Paul. And he's already described some of those characteristics of that mindset. Tenderness, compassion, humility, the absence of selfish ambition or conceit. And of course, love. The very things that characterized Jesus' selflessness. And when we've been on the receiving end of such sacrificial love, how can we not show it to others? Paul throws out the challenge. In humility, he says, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, here's an interesting thing and a bit of a confession, I suppose. I usually pick the image that goes on the newsletter each week, and I'll be honest, I picked this week's image because it had a bit of a harvest look about it, field of corn, and it had that line from Philippians on it. Or does it? Don't know if you've looked at it carefully. If you had it by email, then you'd be forgiven for perhaps remembering exactly what it said. The newsletter says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. That line in Philippians actually tells us to look not to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Can you hear a subtle difference there? And it's that little word, probably, only. The first one suggests that we do look out for our own interests, kind of as well as the interests of others. What Paul actually says is, don't look out for your own interests. Look out for the interests of others. It's a tiny difference in the way it's worded, but I think Paul, his actual instructions set the bar that much, quite a lot higher, doesn't it? Because remember, this is about agape, the kind of love that is costly, that is sacrificial, and puts the needs of the other first. If it doesn't cost us anything, whether that's time, patience, tenderness, compassion, or our riches, if it doesn't cost us anything, then it's not agape. That's quite interesting, isn't it, what Paul is saying? These things come into sharp focus at a time like harvest, because sort of figuratively, or for many around here who sort of still work in the field of agriculture, in a very real way, it's a time for taking stock, making a tally. Will the books balance? When the harvest is in, will it be enough? Will it sell for a good price? Will we make a profit? Will we be able to make ends meet? And at the moment, all over the world, things are tight. And when things are tight, the temptation is to look to our own interests, even if that's at the expense of others or the expense of creation. It's kind of human nature. When things are tight, we've got to look after number one. We've learned a new word recently. Well, I have, haven't we? We were talking about it yesterday, those of us who are covering the church. 170-something people came yesterday during the ginger and spice. That's good, isn't it? And some of us are talking about a word that's come into our vocabulary recently, shrinkflation. Does anybody not know what shrinkflation is? So shrinkflation is when manufacturers make their products smaller but charge us the same. It's so that they can cut their costs or manage their costs but not cut their profits. Well, when it comes to agape, we're looking not to our own interests but to the interests of others, those who are our local neighbours and those who are our global neighbours. So there should be no such thing as shrinkflation when it comes to agape. We shouldn't care less about and for others when times are hard. In fact, we should care more. Agape, remember, is loving at our expense, whatever it costs, because we follow a saviour who did just that. So as we celebrate harvest, let's use it to make that commitment, to look to the needs of others, not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of profound gratitude that God, in his love, never for one moment counted the cost of the cross too great a price to pay for us. Amen.